Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Why do we need the gospel? We learned last week that the gospel is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Dale Carnegie's course, How to Win Friends and Influence People, teaches you to do just that, and you start with the positive. It's interesting that we come to a place when the Apostle Paul is about to talk about the gospel and give a background to the gospel, but before he tells us that the gift of God is eternal life, he tells us that there is the wrath of God. Why do we need the gospel, ladies and gentlemen? We need it because God has wrath. You won't hear many Bible studies like the one we're about to go in today because it's really the bad news. There was a book that came out, a translation of the Bible, years ago called Good News for Modern Man, and it was. It was the story of the Gospels and the New Testament. Frankie Schaeffer, Francis Schaeffer's son, I understand, wrote a book after that called Bad News for Modern Man. And the point is that for us to understand the impact of grace, we have to realize that the God creator of this universe is a holy God. God is the maker of all things, and God has established that he can only be in the presence of really perfection and holiness, and we're not holy. And so Paul starts out telling us why we need the gospel. Outside of the grace of the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are under the wrath of God. God's wrath comes on the sons of disobedience. In Ephesians 5 and in Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, 6, Colossians 3, 6, this phrase is used. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." The scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I looked it up in the original language. The word all means all. That includes you. That includes me. That includes Billy Graham. That includes the Pope. That includes the very best person you know. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You say, yeah, but if you compare me to this other guy, then I look real good. That's right. You do, but the problem is we're not comparing with one another. We're comparing with the standard of God, the standard of Almighty God, the holiness of Almighty God. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, it says, you, talking about the Lord, you have loved righteousness, and listen to this, hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Now, too often in our gospel that we preach, we start and we avoid the wrath of God. We avoid our accountability to Almighty God. When was the last time you heard a song about God's wrath? You know, the songs that we write are all about God is love, and that's wonderful. He is love, but what makes His love so rich? What makes His love so deep? What makes love, the love of God and the grace of God, so wonderful? The truth is that His grace is so amazing because of what I deserved. I deserved His wrath. The hymn book of the Old Testament was the book of Psalms. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, it says, why do the nations rage? God will speak to them in His wrath. W-R-A-T-H, His wrath, it says in verse 12. In Psalm 76, it talks about the judgment of God against the Egyptian army. Talks about His judgment against them, His wrath against them. In Psalm 78, verse 49, it says, God's wrath is poured out on His enemies. His wrath is poured out. In Psalm 90, verse 11, it says, we are consumed by Thine anger. Can I tell you something, folks? Let's establish this today. When you go back and you dig around in Scripture, you realize something. God is mad about sin. God is angry about sin. It's emotional to God because of what sin does to lives and the offense that sin is against His holiness. He is mad about it. He is angry about it. Now, this word for wrath, look there in your scripture in verse 18, for the wrath of God. This word wrath describes a calculated anger and hatred. There are two different words that could have been used in the New Testament for wrath. One of them is the word thumos, which is where we get the word thermos. I've always been fascinated with that old-fashioned thermos. I worked at Baptist Hospital when I was in high school and first year of college in the summer, and I worked in the maintenance department, and I was just a brand new guy, you know, sweeping up and helping when they did little projects at Baptist Hospital. But there were some seasoned guys there that, and they all had, a lot of them had those thermoses, you know, the ones that really keep it hot or really keep it cold, man, because it was a quality thermos. Well, this is where we get that word from. The word thumos in the Greek language means It is uncontrolled rage. Thumos means a rage. It's the picture of a peeved God. It's a picture of God who just recklessly would be angry. This is not the picture in this passage. You see, listen, when you and I get into a rage, here's what happens to, well, here's what we do. We take out our wrath on the nearest bystander, don't we? When we get in a rage, have you ever said this about someone? Hey, I was just in the, yeah, I know he just did that, but I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, man. What's going on in his life? In other words, you're so angry, you're like a thermos. You've got all that heat built up inside, and the lid has been tight, but eventually, whoever's around you, you just blow up on people. That's the thumos kind of wrath, but that's not the kind of wrath that is talked about here related to God. It's like an alcoholic. An alcoholic normally responds emotionally in one of two ways. Either they just cry. An alcoholic, sometimes they drink to a stupor, and then they just lay their head down on a desk and they just on a table and they just weep and they just cry. Oh, and they cry. But sometimes they get angry. They're like thumos, they're wrath. And that's why there are boys and girls in Gainesville today with holes in their walls because of somebody's alcoholic wrath. And they're just mad at life, and they just take in a rage and they just punch a hole in the wall. That's what thumos is. But that's not the picture here. The word orge is a settled, confirmed, listen, a settled, confirmed, appropriate wrath. It is God's holy aversion to all that is evil. It is active and not passive. It is very calculated. And it is applied upon the appropriate destination. The wrath of God is from heaven. God's wrath is revealed in the gospel. Jesus hung on a cross and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, the wrath of Almighty God was placed upon Jesus Christ. His wrath is revealed, number one, against sin. Number one, against sin. It says it is revealed, is being revealed. It's a continuous, is being revealed. Now, there will be the day of wrath. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean God's wrath will come down. Let me tell you this. All accounts will be made right between man and God. You say, well, there is someone who it looks like that they are being blessed. And they're living a life of sin. They're living a life apart from God, and it looks as if they are being blessed. Listen, the accounts will be made right. They're just not being, it's about timing. One writer said it this way: when the bow of God's wrath is being pulled back tighter, the depth with which the arrow goes will be deeper. It's not that God's not going to send wrath. There is a day of wrath coming, a day of reckoning coming, but this is also saying that the wrath of God is being revealed. Folks, sin begets sin. And sin has a consequence. And ladies and gentlemen, we are literally seeing this in our culture and in our world even today. Because of sin and because of the evil against God, that we see it being revealed that God's wrath is coming upon people. It says it is being revealed. We don't only have wrath that we look forward to, but they're experiencing wrath right now. It says in verse 18, it is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, not being right with God. Ungodliness means not being right with God. And then unrighteousness, which leads not to being right with man. That's injustice. Why do people mistreat other people? Because they're not right with God. It just is natural. If you're not right with God, you're not going to be right with people. And as a result of ungodliness, there becomes unrighteousness, and there is the mistreatment of others. And then the scripture says, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You see, truth cannot be changed. The truth that there is a God that we are accountable to, that cannot be changed, but it can be tamped down. Listen, it can be suppressed, and that's what men do. That's what you do. That's what I've done. We suppress the truth. Truth cannot be changed, but it can be held down. But here's the thing. They know better because there's evidence in them. Look at the scripture. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. They know better. Evidence is in them. It's in their conscience. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God in his creation has provided sufficient evidence of himself to hold all accountable who reject him. There's no one that is with an excuse, because they know in creation that there is a God, and they have rejected that truth, and therefore they are under condemnation. They are under the wrath of God. God himself made it plain. Theologians call this natural revelation. It's just natural in creation. You go to the beautiful mountains, you see the mountains. You go to the ocean, you see the beautiful ocean. You see all of creation and you marvel that there is a creator. And because of that, you are to respond in gratitude to that creator. Listen, God, you mark this down. This is a truth we know from all of Scripture. God never judges unless judgment is deserved. God never judges. You wonder, what about people that are in other countries? What about people maybe that have not heard? Let me tell you this. It's forever in Scripture. You know it from the character of God. God never judges anything, any person, unless it is deserved. But he says right here, his wrath is coming upon those because there is no excuse. They know intrinsically that there's a God. Ann Sullivan was Helen Keller's teacher. And when she finally was able to communicate with Helen Keller, who was deaf and who was blind, and when she finally learned how to communicate with Helen Keller, she wanted to tell her about God. And Helen Keller said this, "I already know about God, but I didn't know his name." Folks, we don't have an excuse. But it says in the Scripture that we have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. God has revealed his power. God has revealed his attributes. But listen, we know better. We think all of this is an accident. We have to literally to believe that all of this is an accident, all this creation, the intricacies of the human eye, the intricacies of the human body, the amazing science and physics that all fit together. Oh, all of this is just an accident. Listen, in order to believe that, we have to tamp down and suppress the truth. Because deep down inside, we know that does not happen automatically. You see, it is in us that we believe it. Disbelief requires an act of rebellion against common sense. It displays fallen humanity's fatal bias against God. Although the created order cannot force a person to believe, it does leave the recipient responsible for not believing. And the Bible says they are without excuse. They are stripped of any legal defense. God is totally just. No one will be judged that doesn't deserve it. Why is it that we need the gospel? Because God is angry. God is offended. Because of all the blessings that he has bestowed even upon those that do not believe in him. And we have tamped down the truth that is within every one of us, that there is a God, and we've said no. And then the second thing is against idolatry. Because in verses 22 through 23, it says this, "Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Idolatry. Worshiping anything other than God. We have done that. Do you know that it is reasonable that even if you are not a Christian, you know there is a God, and you know that God has blessed this earth. God has blessed you with life. You should still honor him in that way, even if you were not a Christian, and yet we know better. You see, God gives what is good to those who serve and those who don't, yet there are those who are still unthankful. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it says this, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Hey, listen. It's raining, it'll rain, and it'll bless the earth, it'll replenish the earth, and guess what? It does that for the just, it does that for the unjust. And yet, we're ungrateful. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Idolatry. You see, folks, ignorance of God is a choice. Oh, don't buy into this thing. Well, you know, if we just had a better argument. No, it is an act of the will. You see, because for me to choose Jesus Christ, I have to say I have a problem. I have to say I have a problem, and I don't have the answers for life, and I need forgiveness from Almighty God, and I am admitting that I'm not God. See, that's the big deal, folks. The big deal is, who is God? And I'm telling you, this world today, the wrath of God is coming down upon those who want to insist that they are God. The Bible says they became fools. It's the word moros. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Man wants to be God, and folks, his love is so amazing toward us because our rebellion demands wrath. And what God did in his holiness was he looked down and he said, that Calvin car down there is so rebellious. And oh, listen. It's true. And God said, but I love him, and the only way to satisfy my holiness is someone pure and right and just must take that punishment. My wrath must be delivered down upon rebellion and sin. And so he sent his only son. Why is the gospel so amazing? The gospel is so amazing because Jesus Christ died for us in that state. Folks, listen, if you're without Jesus today, I'm going to tell you, you are on a collision course with Almighty God. I heard the story of an airplane cabin. They were flying. The stewardess came up to a man and said, look, I think that you would enjoy putting on a parachute. Man said, parachute? I've been on planes a lot. I've never had to wear a parachute. What's going on? She said, look, just wear it. You'll enjoy it for the trip. And so He put on a parachute, and of course he's leaning forward. There's already not enough seats. By the way, be careful if you lean your seat back in a plane. Anyway, so he was leaning forward, had a parachute on him and everything. He's trying to sip his coffee, and he couldn't do it. And he looked around. Everybody else didn't have parachutes on. He did. Finally, he became disdained and threw off the parachute, said, "Forget it, lady. I'm not wearing this. It's uncomfortable." Sometimes we have tried to tell people about Jesus and just talk them into adding Jesus onto their life and just say, "Hey, look, I know, hey, just take Jesus on because he's good for the ride." And people take Jesus on, and guess what? When you take Jesus on, it's tough trying to stand for the Bible and trying to stand for truth and doing right in a world that is all fouled up and rebellious against God, and you're kind of leaning forward in life and you're going, "Man, this following Jesus, that guy over there is not following Jesus. That guy over there is not following Jesus. I don't know about this." And we are tempted just to say, "Chuck it all." That's scenario one. Here's scenario two. The stewardess comes up to the man in the seat, and he says, and she says to him, "Sir, the captain has just called us back here in the cabin and told us that in about 3 minutes, we're going to run into a mountain. And we're going to all jump. We're about to jump here in about 2 minutes. Would you like a parachute?" "Oh, yes, please. Can I have a, put my coffee down. Let me do whatever it takes. Give me that thing. Can you strap it on? Can you make sure it's on there right?" Hey, listen, folks. Taking on Jesus is a wonderful thing. God will give you peace and joy, and it'll be awesome. But can I tell you something? You are headed towards Almighty God in his wrath. You better take on Jesus Christ. You better put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a story of a farmer who, in the old days, they didn't farm on the Lord's Day, and yet this guy was not a Christian, and so he was out there right next to the church, you know, plowing and working, and the church people were in church, and he was going after it, and he told him, he said, "Yeah, this has been my best year ever." He said, "I wonder what those Christians think," he asked one. He said, "I wonder what they think about me. It's my best year I've ever had, and they're not plowing and working on Sunday." One of them said to him, "The Lord's accounts are not always settled in October." Why do we need the gospel? Because of the wrath of God. They exchanged the glory of God to an image. It's interesting that you look at this. It says they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. This threefold classification, it reminds us of the book of Genesis, especially when it uses the term image. It suggests strongly that Paul was describing the wickedness of humans in terms of the Genesis account of the fall of Adam and Eve. In Deuteronomy, God prohibited the Israelites from making images shaped like a man, any animal on earth, or any creature that moved along the ground. And yet we, instead of worshiping God, we make gods. God's wrath is revealed against sin. God's wrath is revealed against idolatry. John Bunyan, on his tomb, is the burden of sin that he has. It's pictured with sin as like a big backpack on his life, and he's just burdened down with that sin. But then you go around to the other side of his tomb in the Dissenters' Graveyard in London, and you see where he has given his life to Christ, and he's pictured like this with the backpack flying off and the freedom that comes in knowing Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches that God has wrath. And the reason we need the gospel is because the wrath of God will not come upon those who have accepted Jesus Christ and received his gift of salvation. And it's interesting that Paul begins in this explanation of the gospel with the bad news. The bad news that we're separated apart from Jesus and we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.